Hello, welcome back. This is our seventh hour of the MVA event, and we are going to talk about...
It's more of a marathon, not an event now, right? Yeah, 7 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't feel it. I think the time just flies by really quickly. So we are going to talk about migration.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, can you introduce yourself? Who are you? I'm kidding, yes. We have Cal to talk about the migration. So just take away. I'll be monitoring some of the questions.
All right.
Yeah.
So welcome and thank you for joining now. I'm going to talk about migration. And the problem or the domain that I'm trying to talk about today is how can I migrate existing apps? Those are apps that you already written, already developed and running somewhere else. And you want to migrate to Service Fabric. And we will cover two sources for applications. Applications that are currently running as cloud services or applications that are running on dedicated servers. These dedicated servers can be virtualized environments somewhere, can be running on the cloud as a IaaS, or you can running it as dedicated servers or bare metal as people like to refer to.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense that we ask ourselves, why should we consider migration before we invest in migration, right? Stand. All right. So the first thing that comes to mind is you have an application, and this application is something that you've decided to make as a microservice.
Yeah.
Right? Like you have one of those very large monolith, and you're trying to break into microservices.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you can do is to migrate as is, and run it as is on Service Fabric, and then you start carving smaller pieces of that application.
Yeah.
The second thing you want to think of is just a direct lift and shift to the cloud. You have some apps running on your data center and you want to migrate it to the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
The reason behind that is the cost of running on the cloud is usually cheaper than running it yourself on your own data center.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that you can install Service Fabric pretty much anywhere. You can run it on-prem, you can run it on cloud, you can run it on public clouds as well, other than Azure.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start this journey together. From cloud services, okay? By now, I think everybody knows that there is a thing called guest executable, which are your own executables running on the cluster, no changes expected from them.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at something like the worker roles that are currently part of the classic cloud services, you will see that you have two choices, really. You can rewrite to make use of the interesting new stuff such as reliable state, reliable collections, reliable queues, and all that stuff that comes in the SDK.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can migrate as to a guest executable. The idea is very simple. You unwrap the code out of the cloud services management or lifecycle management. So on start, on stop, all of that code comes out and then you wrap it into your own executable. And executable in this case is just a typical standalone executable. There's nothing to it really.
Mm-hmm.
For worker roles, it's kind of harder because it depends on what you were doing on web roles, sorry. You may have something that has direct dependency on IaaS or not, okay? Because the way of the cluster works and the way the high density work, we really don't have IaaS on Service Fabric, okay? So those things you need to break the dependency and rely on what we call end process listener or on proc web servers. Okay, you can pick your favorite. ASP.NET specifically is interesting because prior to 4.6.2, you cannot run ASP.NET as in the ASP.NET pages, Razor, and all the interesting stuff people are used to without IaaS. With ASP.NET Core, you can actually do that without IaaS.
Yeah.
However, if you have an application that consists with APIs, like MVC APIs, ASP.NET MVC APIs, you can migrate as with extending, just adding the listener piece and you're done.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about the setup entry points, but think about your application as a package that contains every single thing that your application needs to run. Those includes the runtime, if you're depending on a certain runtime like Java, the content that you have, everything your application needs to run needs to be in this package. because of the nature of the way we deploy things to Service Fabric, there is something called a setup entry point. I think we talked about it briefly before this session, or not. I will cover it in my code.
Yes. Okay.
It allows you to run app before your app. Think of this. Think of it this way. I have a 5-node cluster. Mm-hmm. The nodes are greenfield. You just have OS. This OS is either Linux, Windows, it doesn't really matter. But it doesn't have anything that pertains to your app. So you can run setup entry points to prepare the node to receive your application. Okay? Mm-hmm. The other thing is Service Fabric configuration and data packages work slightly different from your web.config approach, because remember, they are part of your app and they are versioned, and you can upgrade them without upgrading your app. So this is what makes it interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Once you start migrating out of runtime such as cloud services, you will notice that two things happened. You don't have role lifetime management anyway, anymore. So you don't have on start or on stop. You don't have on run async in your executable, just an executable that runs. Think of it as a command line.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and this is a lot of oops I have seen when we do migration. Some applications designed to run on single server, like this is it, my server, I do everything to it and I'm done.
Yeah.
Service Fabric employs high density deployment, as in one node can have multiple apps.
Yeah.
So this is something that people should keep track of while thinking about their application. Stuff like environment variables,
yeah.
Global machine settings, all that stuff you need to take care of.
It's like my server always save data to C:\mydata.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Actually, it's one of the common cases, like file names.
Yeah.
I'm used to save it this way and just one file name and I'm done.
Yeah.
I have a link on this slide that walks through a lot of the details of the migration of cloud services. Okay. Mm-hmm. Speaking of preparing the application to run on your node, we talked about the setup entry point. I will cover it more in my demos. Okay.
Yeah.
But there are multiple ways you can do that, all right? You can package the runtime with your app. This is probably the most common one.
Yeah.
Think of node running with node deployed with your app. Every time you deploy your app, you deploy node.exe.
Yeah.
Or Java runtime. The benefits of that is it's really Service Fabric tooling. You're not using anything extra. You're not doing anything mm-hmm. funky. Everything gets deployed and versioned the same way.
Mm-hmm.
The downside of that, if you have one of those very large runtimes, so Java, the last time I checked, is like 250 meg, the newer versions of it.
Yeah.
So every time you deploy an app or you activate an app, you want to copy 250 megs. That might not be the best approach.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is you use setup scripts. This is very common as well in some scenarios, like large runtimes deployment.
Yeah.
So you have a script that goes out to a trusted servers, downloads the runtime to this node and then install it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is very nice when you have one of those large runtimes because the application itself becomes very small, only your executable, but you still need to go and get the runtime and install it. Now, if you're copying from Azure VMs, when you run on Azure VMs, we have plenty of bandwidth over there, so the copy or the download is rather fast.
And I guess the script can also build some intelligence in it. It can check if the runtime is already installed, then it can skip the download.
Yes, so that's actually part of the flip side of this is the complexity of writing an application like that. So you need to understand that this application might have been activated on this node before, or this service have been activated on this node before. So you need to check if the runtime is there. If it's there, don't install, hands off. There might be a situation where somebody else is installing it.
Yes.
Okay, that's even harder.
Yeah, that's harder, yes.
There is also the idempotency. Like it has to run every time and it has to succeed every time this script runs.
Yeah.
And those type of scripts are not as easy to write. But the good news is you need to write it once for your app.
Mm-hmm.
There is also bootstrapping and node provisioning level. When you do ARM, you will see one of the things we have is custom script extensions, which allows you to run a script of any kind, like PowerShell, whatever you want. You can run a batch file if you want.
Yeah.
And that can bathe the node for you, okay? Mm-hmm. There is an advantage in doing it this way because any node that comes to the cluster is ready. And it's easier to write. A lot of people are like, most of the sysadmins that I talked with and you probably talked with are familiar with just writing a script that prepares a node. This is part of their CI/CD probably deployment.
Yeah.
The disadvantage of this is if you need to upgrade this node to a newer runtime, so this needs to be calculated, because if think about it this way, I'm using an older version of Java. Now I need to upgrade it. Mm-hmm. Now what? So I need to rerun the script again on all the nodes. Yeah. So this is adds complexity.
Yeah.
I have seen this working very well in the machine-wide settings. So if you're working in one of those large enterprise IT and you have compliance on things that needs to be adjusted on registry settings, environment variables, turning on or off certain features or whatever,
yeah,
you can use that
okay
as part of your repavement for your apps on Service Fabric.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have demos for cloud services, but there are plenty of samples covering this area. What's more interesting for me is doing one of those applications running standalone on a server and what we can do with it. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to cover this in three demos. We will push complexity as we go. We'll start with a simple web app.
All right.
And then web app was one of those one at a time compute services. Think of a batch processor, something that picks up a batch file, processes it, and throws the data somewhere else.
Okay.
And then we will push the complexity as we go to even a front end service, a back end service, and a compute.
Okay.
So let's go with the simple web app. On my left hand, should be your left hand as well. Told you.
I don't know why I said that.
7 hours, I'm fried. So on the left hand, I have your typical, in this case, I'm using Node.js.
Yeah.
Okay, very simple stuff. I have a load balancer and I have 3 servers or more. And every time I scale out, I just add one more server and run the application there.
Yeah.
There is a database at the back end. I'm not migrating any databases, but this is typically what you find in an application
okay
like that.
Okay. So those are stateless services.
Stateless services,
yeah, yeah.
Yes. Okay. On the right hand, this is how I want to do it. I have a 5 nodes cluster.
Mm-hmm.
I have a load balancer. I just want to deploy it.
Okay.
Database can be managed PaaS, or you have a VM running the database. It's really up to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do the demo. All right. So I have a VM here. Okay. Here. And I have the code here. Okay. So this is a Service Fabric package. All right.
Yeah.
I have a package. Think of shipping packages. It has content and some sort of a mechanism that describes it. This is all done in Visual Studio for you. I am decided to use Visual Studio Code without tooling, just to make sure that we walk through all the steps without tooling helping us.
Cool.
Right? This is because, you know, I'm cool like that. So I have my app.
Yeah.
It's not really doing anything. It's just a Node.js application.
Yeah.
I have Express serving some static content, and I have a very simple web API that responds with my server name. This is the server name piece here. Where is it? It's just a JSON with server name. Okay, and I'm listening to port 9001.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this all, if you noticed, is a bit hierarchical. So I have the app 0, this is the root directory, and then I have front end service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is my code. And then I have a service manifest that describes how my service runs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, think of this as a shaping label that you find on a box.
Okay.
For the sake of my application to run, I have a setup entry point. This runs every time before my actual application runs.
Yeah.
Okay. And my application. In this case, I'm starting my application with a batch file. Okay. So let's see what's inside the node bootstrap. Okay. So setup folder and then node bootstrap. It's doing exactly that. I have 2 PowerShell scripts. Mm-hmm. One installer is called Chocolaty, which is a package manager for Windows.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing I could think of to show the concept.
Yeah.
And once the Chocolaty is installed, I use it to install node.
Mm-hmm.
This allows me to have multiple versions of node running on the same Node.js, in this case, running on the same VM or the same node,
mm-hmm,
cluster node.
So for this entry point script to work, do you need to elevate it?
Mm-hmm. So this is the content of my service,
okay,
right? Application manifest describes the entire application and how it should run. Okay. So on here, if you noticed, I am just bringing on the FE service, my FE as in front-end service. I have a code package. And if you noticed, I am running a code package. This is the setup entry point. I'm running it as admin.
Okay.
Okay, because Windows will not allow you to mess around with elevated settings without running as admin.
Yeah.
And the WebFE, I'm just running my code regularly as a network service.
Yeah.
And the rest of this code is basically around, hey, I have a setup user admin, which is the one I referred to up there, and it's more part of the administrator groups. Yeah. The beauty of this is I don't have to manage passwords, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't have for this user. I don't have to do anything. I just need to have it ready for me.
Okay.
Okay. So what does this mean? It means that my setup entry point will run as an admin, but my code will run as a network service.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's deploy this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what you are showing here, you have this legacy Node.js application. Mm-hmm. Basically, you just reformat the package layout to make it into a Service Fabric application and deploy it.
So far, this code is really a Node.js code. I can actually run it without Service Fabric. So I can do stuff like node, app0, and then app.js, if I'm not mistaken. This is, FE, SVC, I always forget this one, and then code. So this application is running right now. I can, because it listens to port curl, HTTP, localhost, 9001, and this is, let's do index.html. And let's say select, expand property, content, so we see the content only. And that's my content.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
And to make even things more interesting, I'm just going to call my API. It's a get API. There is nothing to it. So I'm just going to say API app. And it responds with JSON that has server name. This is very important as we build services going forward. Now I have this script that literally beams up the package to the cloud and activate. Let's just first.
That's using the
PowerShell.
So
I'm using Service Fabric PowerShell.
Okay.
Okay. So let's just look at the cluster. So get Service Fabric cluster connection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Get Service Fabric cluster. I'm on the wrong node. See. So get Service Fabric cluster connection. So I'm connected to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cluster named Luxor, and it's on the central US data center. Okay.
Right.
Let's see the node, get service fabric node, and let's say select. I'm not interested in all the data. I'm just interested in, format table. Let's do format table. Okay. And let's select property. We'll go with node name and health state. Auto size. So I have 5 nodes, one node type, and all of them are good to go.
Yeah.
So let's beam up this package. Scripts and deploy package and app name is app0, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm connecting, one of the things you should do, never test things before you go. The package is already there.
Okay.
So we're just gonna do remove, and app name app0, and I should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just flushing everything that was on the cluster right now.
Yeah. Right. So those two scripts are written by you, right?
I have written those and I haven't used anything other than Service Fabric PowerShell.
Okay.
And for people who are asking, I'm actually managing the cluster away from the cluster. This is not running on the cluster. This PowerShell is running outside the cluster. I'm connecting securely with a certificate to that cluster.
Okay.
Okay?
I see.
So let's do this again. And we do a deploy, app name, app0, and first thing is you copy the package to the cluster, register. You register the application type, and then you create it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now let's see it. So get service Fabric application, and if you followed Vass's presentation or session, you will know that we use URI for application name, and my name is Portal App, okay? Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to do is I'm gonna pipe this into service, okay? And I'm gonna basically examine everything inside the service fabric description, okay? Mm-hmm. So that should give me, I have my app running, okay? I have my service name running, and I have three instances of them. I haven't really changed any code, and the biggest proof of that is HTTP. I know everybody likes to do luxor.centralus.cloudapp.azure.com, and I'm listening to this guy, API. All right, same thing. I got, this is running on node one.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And if you want to do this if I did this again, I'm gonna get a different node and so on.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened is I actually, let's run this. Okay. So what happened is I deployed. Okay. So I'm not sure what the guy's seeing on their screens right now. I got the application running. Mm-hmm. I made use of web, the load balancer, everything Service Fabric offers in terms of failover, upgrades, mm-hmm. and all that without changing my code.
Yeah.
I just wrapped the entire code into Service Fabric package and just pushed it as is.
Yeah.
There are things to watch out for. One of the things, the key difference is people no longer call servers by first and last names, like web server one, web SRV one. Servers will come and will absolutely go. They will come and fail, all right? Mm-hmm. Again, everything needs to be in one package. Watch out for instance count, because if you're using one instance, you're not available, mm-hmm. okay? And remember, as we talked with Shaco in the morning, there is a direct relation between your instance count and how they are spread over on multiple old domains and upgrade domains. IIS, Apache-like for full-blown web servers for now. Now, as we stand today, you need to break the dependency. Later on, you can use containers to do that. Okay. Okay? By containers, I really mean Docker containers or Windows containers. Yeah. Databases, if you have one of those databases, consider using one of the managed services.
Okay.
Okay. Let's do one more. So this, my service, and it's actually evolved. So now I have one of the front-end service, three instances, and I have one of those compute. Mm-hmm. And those compute are interesting because I always need one and only one at a time, because if there are two running, I will get duplicate data. Okay. If you work with banks, insurance companies, anybody who has partnering of some sort, there is always this somewhere in their environment. There is a process that takes a batch file, breaks it, and confirm the validate the data, and then push it somewhere.
Okay.
Okay.
So you want to ensure the work items are executed once and only once.
Yes.
Okay.
So it deployed on Service Fabric on the right hand side. It's gonna be three nodes, a five nodes cluster, three instance of the front end guy, because I need load balancing for this, and one compute.
Okay? Okay.
Let's go back. And if you noticed, if you're following me, there is a bonus, which is the STD out. Let's go to this guy and say, let's remove our app. Okay. Remove application name, app zero. Let's keep that running while we open. So, code. Now, this is a different app. Too small, right? Let me zoom in for you guys. So, zoom in. I think one more should not hurt anybody. Okay, so this application is, again, one package that has two services, the front-end service, FE service, and the compute service, okay? The compute service has its own service manifest. It does really nothing other than, I'm going to talk about this now, but let's move to the front-end service and get back, because it's going to confuse a lot of people if I start talking about it. My front-end service is this guy. Nothing different. Yeah. My back-end service, however, does something really interesting. While I was migrating this, there was this std out. Everybody who uses stuff like Node.js uses console.log.
Yeah.
This is like the de facto standard. Yeah. People have tools that does debugging, breakpoints, but still std out. There are, Todd, I think, talked about a lot about log files and shipping log files to the Azure storage and similar tools that allows you to do that from VM agent all the way to what Service Fabric does.
Yeah.
But for this application, what I really needed to do is, I want the redirect, fine, that's fine by me. But at some point of time, I need to write std out without changing any code that goes directly to my resilient log.
Okay.
So if I lost the node, I have that.
Okay.
Okay. So I wrote code, additional code. It's really something I've written myself. I am hijacking console.log by writing into my own log. And I have extended the console class or type. I don't want to offend the people who are using JavaScript. Okay. With this log immediate.
Yeah.
Okay. That writes to a storage account. I hope you guys are not fast enough to pick up the storage account key. I'm going to tear it down after the demo. Okay. And let's go back to the application manifest. And here I'm doing the same thing. My application run, my web front end runs three instances, and the compute service runs one instance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let's run this. All right. So in here, this application is removed. So I'm going to use my super duper script, deploy app, and say app name. This time is app one. Okay. So same thing. I'm copying the application, registering the app type, and then creating new app. In a lot of ways, this dance, or this highly choreographed dance, is something you really need to understand when you work with Service Fabric, specifically when you work with stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Visual Studio thankfully does this for you very well, and it does like overrides to your configuration, all that stuff. So if you're building one app, that's fine. But if you're building stuff like that, keep an eye on how this works. Now, let's run the same command we ran a while back, which is get the Service Fabric application, get the service, and let's get the description.
Yep.
Okay. So I have here one app, and then I have my compute service, and I have one instance, okay, and I have the front end service, okay, and I have three instances of it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna curl again. Where is it? Yeah, this guy, and API, and let's just get the content, select, and property, content. So really, I'm running there, okay?
Yeah.
Because people might wonder, do we really have a load balancer for something like that? Yes, you do. I'm just gonna do here, and let's go. Because there is an HTTP keep alive, so every time I'm gonna head from this tab, it's gonna get the same server. I'm writing somewhere else, right? So it should get a different server. Not lucky enough, but the load balancer is working.
Yeah.
All right. Now, remember the piece about std out I talked about.
Yeah.
I have a custom code, my own code. I didn't change anything. I just hijacked console.log and extended it and added a new method for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that actually running here. So if resource group, this was selected, but for some odd reason, it was, where is it? Docker. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, I have SF app Luxor. This is additional storage account that was not created by the ARM template. And I created this, and my app right now is doing this download and open. Should be good enough. And here I am. It's writing to this guy.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. I have to trust you. Actually, from my angle, I don't see the first line of the screen.
All right,
but
so
I guess all the audience, you can see it.
Format.
No, don't worry about it.
We like to do things. So that's my guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And the logger has a buffer, so it's a, like a buffer. Once it's filled, it's pushed to the storage account, but mm-hmm. there is like out of band. I need to write this now, and I don't want to continue anything until it's written successfully. Yeah. So this code does that. Okay. Oh. But you should always use the log direct when possible, because this is something that has been hardened enough. Okay. Or consider using different logging mechanisms that we offer in Azure or outside. Now, go back to the slides and push forward.
Actually, before you go forward, you're not showing the communication between the front end and the computer layer, right?
There is no, so that's a good question.
Yeah.
For now, this guy, if you looked at the there is no communication. Can you guys, let's do this. If you looked at the slide, there is no communication really happening between the front end node and the compute. Those are two separate services. They are not intercommunicating.
Yeah.
My next sample is actually this guy.
Okay.
All right. But let's close this demo and make sure that everything is done. Mm-hmm. On the compute, you really need to understand what your compute service is doing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So keep in mind that if you're deploying multiple instances of this application, there will be multiple compute services, each belonging to a different app.
Yeah.
Okay. So think about the node selection that you're using. If you're I/O bound, again, circling back to all the discussion we had today, mm-hmm. if you're I/O bound, then you probably want more disks or better disks. Go for SSD and go for a higher end. Yeah. If you're doing I/O bound to a storage account, then consider using the premium offering over there because it's SSD backed, it's faster. Mm-hmm. The other thing is something that you've never considered before if you have this phenomenon, which is, can I partition my compute? So for example, can I say, let's say if you're receiving three files at a time, can I create three instances of this compute service? Each one is doing the file. Mm-hmm. Because remember, you have the nodes there. You can just use them.
Okay? Yeah.
Avoid my major oops is path and ports. Like, are you using the same path for everything? Because mm-hmm. everything is just going to overwrite.
Yeah.
These are the things that you probably used to do on a dedicated server.
Yeah.
But on a cluster like that, mm-hmm. with high density deployment, you need to think about that.
Yeah.
Azure Diagnostics extension can do log shipping for you if you want. Consider this before using custom STD out and ask yourself, do I really need this feature? I have the code and I've written it and it's on GitHub, but I'm telling you, this should not be your first choice of running it.
Yeah.
Let's do the last demo we have.
Okay.
So this one is more or less, again, more common. So this has a front-end service, mm-hmm. a load balancer, and then three instances of a front-end service. And then the dark blue thingy is a back-end service. It's not offered anywhere.
Yeah.
All right. It's just a back-end service. It needs to run there. And I have three instances of it. And I have my compute. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when I deploy this, I have the three light blue guys deployed. And I have three dark blue guys deployed. And the red is the compute one.
Yeah.
And Service Fabric will take care of making sure that only one red running. Only three red running, even if I partially fail. So if I have one node failing, everything will migrate. And this is all free features, as in once you use the platform, you get them. Mm-hmm. The other thing I'm doing here in this demo, which is of interest, we talked about health reporting and we talked about a lot of stuff. Those features are not only offered to the SDK mm-hmm. apps. I can actually do health reporting from a node app. That's, I guess, executable. And I will show you how.
Okay.
Okay.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. See, I can always. It's kind of nice to tell you something that you find interesting, right? Since you wrote the book. All right. So let's check out the app. Where was it? Code, and it's app 2, if I remember correctly. All right. And again, we need to zoom. I'm sorry about that, guys. We actually thought that we. Not gonna need to do that. So zoom in again. All right. And let's zoom again. So this is app 2. I have my front end service.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have my back end service. And I have my compute service. Mm-hmm. The compute and the front end you've already seen. All right. The most interesting piece in this discussion is this guy.
Yeah.
So I have the same setup. One app, the app, this app is basically doing listening, and it has its own API. So back-end service is listening to port 5001, and it's doing API.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. This guy is responding with server name as well. It's being called by the front-end service. So let's see how the front-end service tries to reach the back-end service in a situation like that.
Okay.
What I have is really an Azure load balancer in between them. It's an internal load balancer.
Okay.
This load balancer is not anywhere. So let's see the code. So this is my guy, and I am calling 10.0.0.9 because my internal load balancing balancer has a static IP, and I can always reach it. And I already configured it with routing port 5001.
Yeah.
So any application running on the cluster right now can access the backend services. Of course, I can limit this access with NSG, multiple node types, and all that stuff. But for the sake of this demo, I didn't want to do that.
Okay.
And the rest is really plain vanilla, the stuff that you find in any JavaScript code.
Yeah.
Okay. Get the header, add the header, parse the content, and append it. All right. Let's go back to our guy. And let's remove the old app first. Scripts. Remove. And app name was app one. Yeah. Again, I'm doing it the other way around. Remove the app instance, unregister the application type, and remove the package.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's push the new app.
All right.
Scripts and deploy. App name. All right. Can I go back to the code and show you another thing interesting?
Yeah, actually, there's a question online asking about how do you do that health report.
Yeah, that's like that hit me. It's like I didn't talk about it. No, I am. It's on me. It's not on you guys. So let's go to the compute. Forgot where the health report. Yeah, it's here. Yeah. So the compute service was extended to add this compute. So this is the compute code. The health reporting code. This is again typical JavaScript, Node.js code.
Yeah.
This is the health report. This is what Service Fabric REST API expects from you. Okay. The source, the state, health state, what's happening, and some description.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice here, I'm just doing counter. Okay. And this is an interval function. It runs every 1 second or 2 seconds and so on.
Okay.
Because this is a secure cluster, I need the certificates here. You can use RBAC to make sure that this application cannot do anything other than just reporting health.
Yeah.
Okay, and I am reporting here. If you were following Todd's presentation, he had this diagram. Health state is hierarchical. Yeah. Health reports.
Yeah.
So I can report at the cluster level, at the application, at the node, at the replica, and so on.
Yeah.
So in this scenario, I'm reporting on the application level. In your scenario, you're probably going to report on a replica level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm just sending the health report. I'm really not doing anything than a post call to this endpoint.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here, although you're not using the SDKs, but you're using the same REST API to report the health, then this means your service will be participating in the dynamic load balancing, rolling update, health check, all those.
Everything you expect to find, and I wouldn't say everything because the state is not there.
Yeah.
But you can actually do stuff like health reporting, metric reporting, can do management from a node app like. Remember Vasis code? I can run it as a Node.js guest app, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. So let's run this. All right. Let's go back here. Now, this is a demo is a bit more to it than we have 10 minutes. I think we can do that. So app two. Let's deploy the app. And we're copying. I like to refer to this as beaming up Scotty. I'm being beamed up. Let's clear. And let's execute the same code that we done a while back. So I have here that service is running.
Mm-hmm.
I have my backend service. It's running CN instances, and it's singleton. And then I have the compute as is. And then I have the last one, which is WebFE. Let's curl on the WebFE and see what's happening. No, not you, not you, this guy. Okay, so I think it's select, expand property, content, so we just extract the content. Why are you slow?
Did we lose connection?
Did we?
I don't know, let me see.
Let's try this again. No, it's see? So I have here, if you looked at, this is the front end response saying I'm running on node 03.
Yeah.
The back end is running on node 02. Okay. Yeah. Let's see what I really did. So what I did is I'm gonna use Azure CLI to look at what's in there in the resource group. And the reason I use Azure CLI is I move between Mac, Windows, and Linux, and it's easier to just memorize one type of CLI. Azure Network LB show. Okay. My resource group is Luxor-Service Fabric. Okay. Service Fabric. Okay. And the guy's name is LB-intern. Okay. So this is my guy. This is my internal load balancer.
Mm-hmm.
The one that carries this IP. Remember the fixed IP?
Yeah.
All right. I have the prop for port 5001, and I have the load balancing rule right there. Right. The font is too big, but you're basically balancing 5001 to the backend services.
Yeah.
All right. And if I went and of the things that not a lot of people know is the ARM template is yours. You really can configure it to include multiple load balancers, internal load balancers, and whatever. And the VMSS, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Luxor
VM skill set.
The VM skill set. Mm-hmm. Luxor service fabric, okay? Name is node type on. This is my. Oh, let's do JSON. Easier to navigate. Okay, so this is my VMSS definition. And the one thing really of interest here is the network profile. Sorry for a bit jumping around, but if we use this guy now. So each VM I have, it has a network profile, and it's a member of two load balancers. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying. The first load balancer is the external load balancer, which is the one ARM Service Fabric created for me when it was provisioned. And yeah. This is the one that I added. And each node is member of two. And I can do routing freely between them.
So for this particular setting, can you actually do it in other ways through the portal, or you have to write the ARM template?
So VMSS configuration with load balancer on the portal, still some features are not there on the UI, the user experience. But you can do this with the VMS, the Azure CLI or PowerShell, or you can actually edit the ARM if you want.
Okay.
For this particular, I just use Azure CLI, VMS, extract, config, edit the configuration, and reload it.
Push it back. Okay.
And I'm good. Yeah. Okay. Now, the last piece of this discussion is obviously the health report, right?
Yeah.
So right now, if you remember, my code submits the health report and counting.
Yeah.
Let's get this. So get. And if you remember, I report at the application level.
Yeah.
That's very important to remember. So get service fabric application. Okay. My application is application name is fabric and it's portal app. This is case sensitive, by the way. Keep an eye on that. And I'm gonna say get service fabric application health. And then I'm gonna pipe it to select expand property, and I'm interested in health events. And if you noticed, here is my Node.js guest executable health report at the application level. And this is number 135. Let's get another one, 141,
mm-hmm.
and 143, and all of that. All this code, I'm going to push it to my GitHub one of the GitHub repos I have under my username.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obviously going to strap out some of the certificates and all that. But the code is there, and you can use it as a baseline to do what you want.
Cool.
Let's go back to the slides and close. We have 5 more minutes. Let's push through. All right. So if you go to the slides, and so what do I need to watch for when I do stuff like this, like I wouldn't say very complex, but relatively complex services.
Mm-hmm.
You can use customized cluster, whatever you want. You can do DMZs, you can do internal load balancers, you can have multiple load types. ARM is your friend, and ARM JSON file or the ARM template is really your friend.
Yeah.
Once you get your head around them, they'll become really easy to understand. Backend services can be single instance. I can add more services, just like what Vas was doing in his session. I can just quickly activate new services.
Mm-hmm.
Everything runs on VMSS, so keep that in mind, because if you understand VMSS, you can really do what I did, just add network profile, modify the network profile.
Mm-hmm.
The most important piece is it's not black and white. So it's either a guest executable that knows nothing about Service Fabric or a guest SDK app that lives inside the Service Fabric. You can choose somewhere in the middle that fits your need. Mm-hmm. Load metrics, health reports, and everything is there for you to use. And everything is exposed as the REST.
Yeah.
You can do that with Python, Node.js, anything that can do REST calls, we're good.
Yeah. And I guess for that, for instance, the demo you showed, that you hijack the standard output to a different logging. I guess if you want, you can actually connect to your existing logging system and connect that to Service Fabric health report that trigger on certain events to change your health state. Yeah.
And that by extending it and having a watchdog patterns that, like, I think Todd talked about watchdogs briefly. So you can have a watchdog that parses your logs, and the events you're interested in, you can report them as... That means you really don't need to edit your code. You can just have extended by an external service. Yeah. That's actually a good pattern.
Yeah.
Use health reports, use performance metric. Be generous. The more you tell Service Fabric about your app, the more it will run your app better. All right?
Yeah.
The last thing is a Q&A. If we have any, I have a lot of links here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I rant a lot on Twitter, and I post a lot of things I find interesting in my way.
Yeah.
And I'm basically done with my slides and my demos.
Okay, cool.
All right.
So that was a run through of the migration scenarios. Basically, you talked about the migrating from the Service Fabric applications as well as the on-premise or bare metal applications. And basically, you have a lot of flexibility to choose. You can choose your application just to package as a guest executable. And you can choose to use the Service Fabric APIs to report your health, to kind of gradually hook into the system and get more services out of Service Fabric. Cool. So I guess we are wrapping up this session, and coming up is the most exciting session for the day, which we'll talk about containers and the Linux. We save the best to the last. Everybody has heard about containers and how they are disrupting the whole IT landscape. And we have many coming up to talk about where we are looking at in terms of container support, as well as supporting the Linux system, and as well as the Java programming language. So it will be a really exciting session. And we are almost at the end. Thank you very much for staying with us. Just keep tuned. We'll be back in 10 minutes.